Today on the AV Podcast, right now there's two people in the game that's made some polarizing content, either with their craft or with their interviews. Now, if you guess Kanye West and Childish Gambino, you guess correctly. You don't win the prize, though. I mean, you're already getting this podcast for free. What more do you want from me, man? You want more than that? Anyways, I invite past contributor to the show, Sean Adonis, as we break down the last set of events from Kanye to the, from the Ye versus the People song to his slavery comments, and how his recent moves are both in contrast and relatable to what Donald Glover, aka Childish Gambino, did this past week. I hope you enjoy it. South Sharav is available wherever you listen to podcasts. You can listen and subscribe to the latest episodes on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher under the name South Sharav. Make sure you click and subscribe to the podcast app and rate the shows too. 5 stars only. 5 stars. I want to be a 5-star general. You got to rate me with the 5 stars. And as always, to listen to more podcast episodes and to catch up on my entire catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAV.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAV.com. It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore AV Radio. George Bush is like, really?
Welcome to the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore AV Radio.
Yes, sir. So, Sean Adonis, what's going on? What up, what up, what up?
Hey, brother. How you doing, man? I'm good. Thanks for re-inviting me to the pod. Like, stopping through from time to time, you know, check out what's going on here.
Yeah, that's right, man. You know, you gotta check the house and everything else, you know, pour yourself a glass.
Yeah, man.
You know, and speaking of that, of course, you know, what you drinking right now? You know, we gotta keep tradition going.
Well, today I'm sipping on Crown Royale with rye. You know, the northern whiskey, the rye. I've never tried rye, the Crown Royale rye before. It's my first time. I mean, it's a little less smooth, but it still does the job, though. It still makes me feel nice and sophisticated while I'm sipping on it. So that's what counts, you know.
Yeah, today I got Appleton Rare Blend. I have to pull out the box today, Sean.
Yikes, I seen that.
I have to pull out the box today.
I see you, brother.
Just over some rocks, you know what I mean? Just, you know, that over the rocks, that's it.
Nice libation.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully I won't be slurring my words by the end of this, because, you know, that's all good. I can always, that's what the editing is for.
If you're not, then you didn't pour enough.
That's true.
That's my motto.
All right, so I don't know where we start. We could either start with Kanye West, or we could start with Childish Gambino. But you know what? Let's start with Kanye, because obviously,
yeah, let's start with the shame and end with more of a, let's end it on a higher note. I say that, man.
So obviously he's come back on the scene the only way Kanye can, unorthodox, sometimes awkward, and always controversial. Before I share my thoughts, what was your impressions when you initially saw Kanye jump back on the scene, I should say?
Man, I went through an entire array of thoughts. With each passing day, my opinion and my interpretation of it and the way I was processing it changed, man. Because if I remember this chronologically now, he first popped up with some tweets that were in support of Trump, right? Mm-hmm. Now, my initial response, I think, was pretty consistent with everybody else's response, was, what the hell happened to the guy that made that stand after Hurricane Katrina? You know, that controversial stand, George Bush doesn't care about black people, you know? That guy that seemed to nod him if he didn't address what he considered to be an injustice, right? Hopped up on stage and said, Taylor Swift shouldn't win this, it should go to Beyonce. You know, and it's not a direct paraphrase, but that was the Kanye, the guy that didn't hold his tongue when he thought an injustice was being perpetrated. So he goes from that to being the guy who embraces a president who introduced a climate of racism and imbalance in our society that none of us thought was possible, and we thought that we hadn't seen anything to this level since the 80s, 70s?
60s?
I even say, because I was around in the 80s. It didn't feel like this shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, mind you, racism was, you know, it was there. It was prevalent, like, obviously, you know, I mean, especially in certain areas, maybe not as much for us where we were from at the time, but you know, you still did have, you know, racist ideologies that were prominent at the time. With every passing generation, you know, these ideologies, you feel like they kind of die off to some degree. But, you know, like, this president brought it back with a vengeance. And most Black people find, you know, unity in the fact that we all really believe in our disbelief that it's just so widely accepted. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes the guy who, the musician who was our champion on the white horse, like he was our knight heading to battle against injustice, being like, man, I fucks with this guy. I support this guy. So it was such a slap in the face, like what? Like a kick in the stomach. So that was my initial reaction to that, man.
You know, it's funny because, well, two things. One, you know, I want to correct you because we grew up in the 80s in Montreal. Them French Canadians was, they weren't exactly nice.
Oh, good point. Good point. That's true. I heard the word nègre a few times. And you had to go fist the cups a few times.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, trust me. My idols back in the 80s, you know, elementary school especially, was Magic Johnson and was Mike Tyson, because you had to get your fight game going.
Good point.
For real, right? Like that uppercut was like the greatest weapon I think I ever had back in like grade 5, just to fight off those French kids. You know what I mean? So so there's that.
It's true.
Yeah.
My apologies for the ring here in the back.
Yes, thank you.
It's funny too. Now that you remind me, it's true, man. In the 80s, the word French kids essentially meant a gang.
For real.
It wasn't even like a racist thing, like, oh, those French kids. Like, oh, yeah, the French kids. And you knew that French kids meant trouble in the 80s in one way or another, man.
Yeah. No, for real, definitely. And I think the other part with Kanye, too, was with Kanye, I think what was the funny part was that, you know, when he first had his support of Trump and he went to go see him in the Trump Tower before he went and became, you know, the actual president of the United States, and he was taking all these meetings with everybody in the Trump Tower, like shortly after that, he kind of had his nervous breakdown and meltdown. So like everybody kind of just swept it under the rug as, man, he was just, you know, he wasn't right at the time. You know what I mean?
You're right.
So
because to be honest with you, I completely forgot about that up until it came back up with this latest situation.
Yeah, so he didn't even think about it initially, right? He just kind of swept it under the rug. So when he came back, like, he doubled down on it now. And now you're sitting back like, okay, so this guy was actually serious. He was, you know, this wasn't just exhaustion or, you know, a meltdown or a breakthrough, as he likes to call it. This was a situation where he was in full support of this. This was in his spirit. So now you, especially watching how things have turned out in 2017 and everything else. And I mean, you look at the Kaepernick situation, you know, this guy was proud to have a hand in scaring the owners not to sign back a Black quarterback for standing for injustice for Black people, you know. Yeah. And then here you have a guy now who's, not only is he a supporter of Trump, he's tweeting pictures that, you know, he got his hat signed by the president. And he's like dumb happy. And I'm like, wow, like, what am I reading here? You know what I mean? But
yeah.
So that, I mean, that was part of it. And then, you know, right after that, shortly after that, he comes out with two tracks. The other one, I won't even speak of that one. But
let's wipe that one completely under the rug. Lord, under the rug, and like fucking stomp all over it. That one Like,
yeah, I'm not even gonna name the name of the track. Just the only thing I got from him was poop did his scoop. Is that what did he say? Poop did his scoop.
Something like that.
Something like this. Yeah,
that's poop did his scoop.
Yeah.
Scoop did he poop?
Yeah.
Yeah. Lord have mercy.
But so he comes out with Ye versus the People, and you know he does the track featuring T.I. and it's funny. I even listened back to it again today. It's a creative track. Like, I won't knock it for that. I understand him using this new viewpoint or the viewpoint that he has about supporting Trump and turning it into art. So I can kind of respect that. I like the back and forth between the two of them. It got the people talking. It's a creative way to flip it and all that. But I don't know. I just don't get the sense that the song was making you think in any way. Like, I didn't get the sense that I got a better understanding of Kanye's viewpoints being logical. Like, it wasn't one of those things where it's like after the song was over, it's like, you know what, even if I don't agree with it, I can at least understand, you know, maybe where he's coming from a little bit. It's like the song kind of just left you like, you know, after 3 minutes is over, it's like, Kanye, like, you still didn't tell us why you still support Trump in any logical way.
Yo, the thing is, that song just reaffirmed the fact that Kanye West is a weirdo, bro. Super weird. Did you see the video they released that led to that track where T.I. went to go visit Kanye and they were talking, and then Kanye played the verse he already laid out in that song, and Kanye pitched him the idea. It was Kanye's idea. Hey, how about, you know, we kind of turn this conversation into a song. You lay some verses down to this track. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't get a chance to see that, actually.
Or did you see the video? Yeah, so that video helped to contextualize it a little bit. One, I can't remember. I heard someone comment this already, so I won't take credit for it. But someone compared Kanye to like Michael Jackson or people like that that just surround themselves with so many yes men, they lose perspective on reality. They have nobody to tell them or check them when, you know, they're talking nonsense. Like, when anything you do is brilliant. Which is why Kanye compares himself to Walt Disney and, you know, Henry Ford and everybody else that have done way more impactful things than just music for society.
Or puts out a song that says poop to the scoop, but go on.
Yeah, seriously. but of course, that's genius because Kanye, it came out of Kanye's mouth. So anything comes out of his mouth automatically becomes sanctified from the moment it leaves his lips. But if you saw that video, you see Kanye's environment. You see what environment it brews this manifestation of this idiocy, of this, you know, of all this weird nonsense that comes out of his mouth that none of us understand, because us, we live day to day in the real world, surrounded by people with real life experiences and, you know, with real exposure to reality. So, you know, everything that we think and talk about and discuss, that is influenced by that. Kanye has a group of people around him where, to be honest with you, it looked kind of like it was spooky weird. Like, you know, it was all of them looked out of place. Not the kind of people you think would be around an iconic rapper. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they were just there to, I suppose, you know, serve their own interests. And their own interests are making sure that in whatever way, shape, or form they contribute, they make sure that Kanye's happy. So he has nobody that gives him any counter opinions, anything. And then on top of that, I even heard he said, I don't watch CNN or I don't watch the news. You know, like a lot of his opinions come from what people tell him about things.
Right.
So the guy's not well informed. The guy is, I guess, reached that status where, you know, some people lose themselves. They lose themselves because Michael Jackson surrounds himself with people that will only, you know, agree with what he says and say things that fit their best interests, or Prince or whomever else. So, first of all, he's not even coming from a place that we think he's coming from, a well-informed place, because realistically speaking, the kinship he feels with Trump, it really isn't how we feel it is. We feel the guy has a grasp for what's going on in society, but what he sees is, oh man, okay, this dude over here, he is like me. He's, you know, a guy who's into entertainment and whatever and had no experience in anything and goes against the grain and became president. That's what Kanye, like, all of this here, that Kanye wants to talk about, oh, this is love and this and that and the third, and maybe I'm jumping way ahead of where you intended to go in this, with this exact question, but this is all selfish because Kanye sees in Trump what he can become. He thinks, he foolishly thinks it's never going to happen, but he thinks, ah, if this guy can become president, so can I. And again, to bring this back to your original question, I know I went off on a freaking tangent there. I apologize for that. But, like, it's all to say that the dude is just so freaking, if you saw that video, you'd see the weird environment. So I'll rewind and bring this back to your original question about the song. Can we somehow edit this to make me sound like I'm not crazy? Anyway, I'm talking about Kanye that I'm going off on a tangent. The Lord have mercy. So yeah, so the point being is that they went back and forth, and I don't think, Calvin, that Kanye realized that this wasn't, like, Tip was kind of throwing some serious jabs at this guy in this track, man.
He really was.
And it went over Kanye's head. I think he thought, like, oh, that was cool. He was calling Kanye an idiot and a disgrace for pretty much the whole song.
More or less, basically saying, like you got to be high, you know, like you done lost your mind. But it's basically what he said basically represented what everybody thought. So like I said, in a sense, the song is, like, it's kind of smart that way creatively, I guess, you know. But, I mean, it's not the most creative song in the world, don't get me wrong, but, like, that part of it is like how we turned it into art. Like I said, I can see the viewpoint where it's coming from. But like I said, at the end of the day, you know, we always make the joke that, you know, Eminem bodied Jay-Z on his own song, you know. And yeah, in this case, T.I. really bodied Kanye and his own song on real stuff, you know, like real shit.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting here talking about, like, yo, this guy's been basically putting it to color people, you know, since he's been in office, or at least there's been a lack of support there, a visible lack of support there, and you running around wearing his hat, being happy that you got his sign, you know what I mean? So, like, the whole issue of it is just ridiculous. Like I said, I like the song, but and I'll touch on a couple other things that you mentioned, and it's got to be not scary, but it's. Because how do you know when you're in that space that you're that big that you can't have anybody in your corner to... There's nobody there to be like, yo, C, what are you doing, dog? Like, dude, no. Come on, Calvin, you can't...
Yeah, to ground you.
Yeah, like, there's nobody there to be your anchor to say, Calvin, pull this back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if Sean's acting out of control, I should be able to still call you and be like, dude, Sean, what are you doing? Yeah. Why is your hair dyed orange? Sean, stop
exactly.
this.
Exactly. And you know what it's like? I'll parallel it to this. So let's just say, for example, right? You're amongst a bunch of cornballs, okay? Mm-hmm. And anything you do, they think, oh, man, that's so cool, man. Like, Calvin's so cool. This guy's just so cool, man. I think Calvin is cool. So every time you do something cool and this and that, and if you make a joke, they act like it's the most hilarious thing they've ever heard and whatever. You get lazy, you lose your edge, and you just fall into that behavior that makes the people that are around you praise you, right? Mm-hmm. But then once you get around some people like, you know, myself and your friends that, you know, I won't say expect more from you, but they have higher standards than that. If you do that and make that joke, and I'll be like, man, Calvin, that's not funny, man. You know, you're like, oh, shit, okay. And then you adjust, right?
Right.
But if you surround yourself with people like that who praise you for things that you shouldn't be praised for, that starts to become your norm. That starts to become your reality. So like you said, how do you, Kanye, Michael Jackson, or anybody else even realize once they fall into that, which is a dangerous and scary thing, man.
Yeah. And it's funny. I always heard this joke with Eddie Murphy where people say, like, I think one of the biggest... He's probably the biggest comedian that's ever lived. You know what I'm saying? Like, in terms of all the movies he's done and all the success that he's had, Kevin Hart be damned. But seriously, but like when you look at Eddie Murphy, it's like he got so big to the point where it's like, yo, this guy barely left his house. And how could you still be a razor sharp comedian when you're living in a bubble?
Yeah, you know, like exactly.
And that's the same thing that goes with anything. Cause you still gotta, You still got to attach yourself to not attach yourself, but you still got to in some way still connect with people. You know what I mean?
Right, because it's real life experiences that keep you sharp and keep you, and real life experiences and interactions, right?
Right. Like, I think I told you this before, too. The song number one sounds like a rough cut. I feel like it's missing instruments. But the first time I heard it, I was like, why would they put this out? This sounds like a rough draft. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think I even told you that. And it's funny because I was on DJ Scratch's Instagram page, and he put a remix on his page. And it's funny because the remix he put out was the same beat. He just added drums. He's like, yo, what happened? He's like, what happened to Kanye with the drums, man? He's like, does Kanye need to come back to the hood and hear like hard knocking beats again? Like, what's going on? And it's funny when he played it, I was like, I like the version better because I was like, yeah, this kind of knocks now.
So, wow, man.
You know, so it's like it's the last few years, and we've talked about Kanye and other podcasts and stuff before, where he's getting to the point where it's like he's at the point where, not the fact that his shit don't stink, but he's at the point where he's taking a lot of chances creatively, which I have no issues with. But like I said, again, it still has to connect in a way with the people. I think it's just now he's just doing stuff because he's Kanye West, not because it's knocking and everybody feels it that way. It's like, no, this is the future. You're going to like it. And that's worked for a time, you know, because like I said, I feel like that Graduation album, you know, some of the house tracks and different things on it, like Stronger and different things like that, was the stuff that kind of like pushed forward the next generation of sound, you know. But I'm at, like I said, but at this stage now, it's like even with his last album, I'm kind of like, I don't know. Everybody's telling me, yo, this is a classic, but I'm like, are they just saying it because it's Kanye, or are they saying it because it is actually banging? You know what I'm saying? I think we reached that point with him now where it's like he's so big, like he's so famous, it's like people are just on whatever he does, and I'm kind of like, okay, that's cool, you know what I mean? But is it really hot, or am I supposed to like it because everybody else likes it, or am I supposed to like it because I feel it in my gut that this is hot, you know what I mean? And that's where he's kind of at now. Like I said, when you listening back to this song, it's like, it's a cool concept, but it doesn't, at least Kanye's part, it doesn't connect.
Yeah, man.
You know, that's
100% accurate. And the thing about Kanye is this, man. Kanye, I think it is, I'm no psychologist, but I think we could come to the agreement that Kanye should be diagnosed as having delusions of grandeur. Like, I've never, ever seen a dude that exalts himself to the level. If you ask Kanye West if he's Thanos, he might tell you Thanos is a few layers beneath me, seriously speaking. Like, Kanye West thinks he's Jesus mixed up with Muhammad with a sprinkle of Buddha. Like, he literally thinks he's that, man. For sure, I agree, in hip hop, Kanye is, you know, one of, and I won't even say the best ever. I won't even give him that credit. Because, yes, he's, you know, great production-wise, influence and that, but he's not the full package. He doesn't write his own lyrics all the time. So, you can't give him that, you know?
Right.
But with that said, if you ask Kanye West, Kanye West is Michael Jackson. Kanye West is Madonna. Like, he thinks that he's U2. He thinks that he is on that. He is in bracket. And, I mean, I don't think, like, Kanye West is iconic hip-hop wise, but Kanye West is not Jay-Z, brother.
Right.
He's not Big. You know, he's not Pac. You know, like, hip hop has certain tiers.
Say it,
you know?
Sean. Say it. He's not Nas. Say it.
I'll even give Nas that. You know, again, Nas. I play Nas when I'm having trouble sleeping.
Stop it.
I mean, with that said, on the totem pole, or you know, in the hierarchy of unarguable top of that profession, you do have the Nas, the Big, the J, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But Kanye is a tier beneath them. I'm sorry, he's not on the same level as those guys.
No, I agree. I agree with that. And it's funny because the mindset that I think Kanye is iconic because of the way he carries himself, as well as all the other talents that he has.
You're right. And, that's a good point.
And the perfect example of that to me is that TMZ interview that he had, that when he was in the bullpen at TMZ, you know, basically spilling his guts for like a half hour. And, you know, and that's the thing with editing, right? Like, you look at media and stuff, and it's like you get the clips that once it's edited, it can make you look anyway. It can make you look great or it can make you look crazy, you know? Yeah. And looking at just the clips of, you know, when Van Lathan stood up and said what he had to say, which was great, by the way.
Definitely.
You know, when he said what he had to say, it was like it made Kanye look like, oh my gosh, I messed up. Oh, let me go say sorry to this guy. Meanwhile, when you watch the actual interview, they had much more of a dialogue.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Kanye was arguing that. He was arguing back and forth, which is so dangerous about the media, man. It's super dangerous. But yeah, like, sorry, continue your point. But I saw that same video. Yeah, I think that we both discussed that. I was like, yo, check this friggin' the whole video out. Because like you said, the original cut we showed was Van Lathan saying what he said, and Kanye like, yo, I'm sorry I offended you, bro. Kanye argued his point. He argued his point. They argued a bit back and forth. And then later on, Kanye's like, okay, now that we're done talking, let me come talk to you. I want to come hug you. Because now Kanye seems to be the freaking love monster. I don't know where this happened. He wants to love everybody, and he thinks love is going to fix the world. Kanye, this is the real world. You got to stop hanging out in Calabasas with your yes men and your creepy entourage and realize. You say, oh, you know, I want to love Trump, and what if I do this with love, and I put a different meaning on make America great in its unity. That's nice in an ideal world. That's nice. It makes a nice soundbite. That doesn't really work, man. So you see the video, and it makes it look like, you know, it's a exchange between the two of them that, you know, ends with Kanye trying to throw love at him like the Care Bears. Remember the Care Bears back in the day? Remember the Care Bears when they would battle the evil with love and rainbows coming out of their stomach? That's what you thought Kanye was throwing at Van Lathan. Like, I'll vanquish your anger with some love.
But, yeah, like if he pulled up his hoodie, he was like, oh, take the heart.
Exactly. Take these hearts, man. You can't resist. You know, but,
I can't resist the positivity.
I know. I want to hate you, but these rainbows from your chest, from your stomach, they just quell my anger. But yeah, man, like, That's what the edit made you think it was, but it wasn't like that. They were going back and forth a bit more, and then after the smoke cleared, Kanye was even like, yo, I want to come hug you, but I think you want to beat me up. You know what I mean? And that's when he's like, I'm sorry for offending you. Like, they cut out so much, and it's crazy how the media does that. Because like you said, I'm none the wiser. You're none the wiser. They show me the clip. What do I know, man?
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. But to speak on another point, though, about where his mind state is at, just generally, like the part that, again, like when you think of Kanye, like you think of that big personality, is he's talking to, you know, Harvey Levin and the other guy, because I don't really watch TMZ, so I know Harvey Levin. I don't know the other guy with the locks. But at one point, he's like, hey, everybody, listen, everybody, I was on opioids. I was on liposuction. I got liposuction for y'all, you know, because you know, before the wedding, I had to make sure I look good because, you know, you made Robert feel bad and he left before our wedding. So I got lipo for y'all, you know, and it's like, Kanye, why did you have to now turn this into a whole discussion? You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's some arrogant shit. Like,
yeah,
and that's the part where you talk about where it's like, dude, like that's where you know you gotta have like a BS man, you know what I mean? Like, you have to have that guy that sits back like, don't keep your voice down, no, just keep it here.
A guy or a girl,
anybody.
Don't ever discount having a woman by your side that's like, you're acting stupid, man. You shut up, man. You know Kim Kardashian ain't doing that. She tells him everything he does is magnificent. If anything, you know, she makes it even worse. But yeah, you need people around you, like you said, to do that, man. And the funny thing is this, man. Not even the funny thing. Maybe the thing that takes away the humor of it, man, is watching this entire Kanye cluster bomb explode last week and seeing the different appearances and, yo, man, mental illness and not having people to ground you to reality
support is a real
bad combination, bro. Because it's very clear, even if you watch, like, you know, different clips in the team's interview where he stops in the middle and says, wait a second, can you guys talk to whatever that chick's name was?
Candace.
Can you guys talk to her? I want to talk to Harvey on the side. Like, things he does is just, like, not really what polished, normal people do. You know what I'm saying? He just doesn't know how to conduct himself in a social situation as most people do. And I'm not going to give him a pass and be like, well, he's just such a genius and he's so eccentric. No, it's not normal, man. Kanye's not a normal person. And, you know, how do you quantify what's normal? That's, you know, something, of course, it's difficult to actually put into words. But you could observe somebody and be like, that something's wrong with that guy.
You know what? I'll ask you a question. Like, has this moment in the public eye at this point clouded your judgment in terms of him being a musical influence?
Yeah, I don't listen to him anymore, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I play his... okay, as far as being a musical influence, no. I'll still give him credit for being a musical influence. He might have been crazy. Like I said in one of our previous podcasts, I think the loss of his mother really affected him. And to the point that I made before, you know, because, you know, that I think maybe threw him off the edge. But maybe that was that one person we're speaking about, right? That could ground him, kind of bring him back. Like, Kanye, you gotta chill. You know, maybe steer him down the right path. You know
what I mean? Maybe. It's a good point.
But with that said, it doesn't take away from his influence, the impact of some of his albums. Like you said, I think the last two were garbage. But anyway, I don't take away from that influence. With that said, when I'm at the gym and my Spotify playlist is rolling and I see some old Kanye I used to rock to, I go beep, beep, skip. I don't listen to that, yo. I can't support what this dude is on right now. I will not support that, man.
And it's a shame because for me, like, I used to be able to just ignore it before. You know what I mean? Like when he had his outburst during the award shows, and, you know, which is a whole other thing, because I never understood why this guy, as great as he is, would get that mad that his video didn't win, like, video of the year. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I know you're trying to be competitive and stuff. I totally get that part of it. But I don't understand why you still at that stage of your career, why you still needed that validation. You know, like, I didn't understand that. But
that's a great point.
But I mean, to go on further, the whole spazzing out, you know, him marrying into the Kardashian family, you know, but I was always able to separate that from the music. You know what I mean? Because I still like Kanye. Like, you know, for me, so I was still a fan of Kanye's music. So for me, I can separate the fact that all this other stuff is going on. But as long as he goes into the studio and puts out good music, that was my thing. The fashion, everything else, I understand that. Like, you could go do that. I'm a big believer of not being boxed in. So that's okay. You know what I mean? But like, the stuff isn't for me, like the shoes and all that stuff. It's not for me, but you know, whatever, do your thing. But my thing was just, you know, I still wanted him to put out hot music, you know? And so I was always able to separate it, but like, even he started to cross my own threshold and cloud the way that I separate Kanye from everything else that he does. So just so I can just enjoy his music purely, you know, like that whole slavery thing, you know, it made me wonder who's representing him, first of all. That was like probably like the first impression I had, which he then cleared up in that interview by saying that nobody represents him because he can't be managed. So, you know, there's that. So you're at that point now where it's like, okay, now you're literally your own I know you're your own boss, but you don't have anybody to manage you. Like, you can't be managed. So that's like, that's at where he's at right now, you know, in this whole free thought, you know, state of mind and stuff. Again, you can have the free thought and everything else, but you got to be responsible with that free thought. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
man.
You can't, like, I'm all for free thought, but if it's being used in an ignorant and an immature way, you're just going to look like a jackass. And then that hurts everything else that you do because nobody takes you serious. So for me, it's like you can have free thought, but if free thought is sometimes rooted in ignorance, you know, rooted in non-factual stuff, then it's like, okay, like, what the hell are you talking about? Now you just sound like an idiot. You know, and I feel like that's, that Kanye was like, I swear, it's like if it's a Wonderful Life, like the Ghost of Christmas Past. Like, if he was able to come back and get Kanye from 2005 after he left the stage with Michael Myers, you know, with the whole Katrina thing, and pull him back into the future and be like, okay, Kanye, this is what happens if you don't check yourself, you know, and don't have those people in place. This is the stuff that you say, and then he hovers over the TMZ studio and just like, slavery is a choice. You know, you had that much people for real. And he's like, oh my God, no, I didn't really say that, did I? How do I change that? What do I do? Ghost of Christmas Past? Like, that's, you know, that's.
Yeah, seriously, man. and honestly speaking, like most people, that was the last straw for me as well. Like, up until the slavery was a choice thing, it was mildly entertaining, and I was disgusted with the Trump support, you know what I mean? But the slavery was a choice thing, eesh. After that, man, like, I'm like, I can't support this guy in any way, man. Because, like you said, the problem is that the platform he has, he has such a platform, and a statement like that validates and confirms, you know, racist thoughts that people that like to discriminate against blacks and tell us to get over slavery, you know, all the while not getting over certain things in their own culture. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the Civil War, this, that, and the Confederate flag has to be preserved because it's part of our history. But that part of your history that's bad, no, get over that part of your history, guys. Slavery, you know, slavery was hundreds of years ago. Get over that, you know? So for him to say it's a choice, when you have people that latch on to those type of dangerous beliefs, all they need is a confirmation from that same group, a leader, a figurehead, to confirm those beliefs of theirs. And that's all they need to take that and roll with that. And for him to say that when he's supposed to be championing our culture, it's for me, I was like, all right, man, Kanye, here's where I get off this ride, man. I'm done with this Kanye West experience. I'm finished with that, man.
And before we move on, I'll just add this. Between that and the whole comment he made about being, you know, hooked on opioids and taking liposuction and all, and doing liposuction and all that stuff to please, you know, the masses, like, I felt like it was a combination of somebody, you know, because I don't want to say Kanye is stupid. He's not stupid, obviously, you know, but it's like you're watching somebody that's very confused in their thoughts. He's not the most articulate guy, and I don't want to make it seem like because you're not completely articulate that you're an idiot. That's not true. But,
yeah,
you know, but you're watching somebody who's, it's almost like they got like a million thoughts jumbled together. And then at the same time, when he's making those slavery comments, it's like you're literally watching like the self-destruction of somebody on TV, you know. And then when you combine that with, you know, with everything that happened to him last year, you know, with having a nervous breakdown and stuff, it's like, it's sad. It's like I didn't get any joy from watching it. I wasn't sitting there laughing and making fun of it. I thought it was sad, personally. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Yeah, I thought it was like, it just watching it, I was just like, man, like, what happened, man? You know, like that, like, what happened? It's, you know, we'll never know, you know, unfortunately, unless they do like a major documentary on him. But it's like, what like, it's funny, like, watching Kanye is like, I respect the spirit of what Kanye is trying to do. You know, like, even with the fashion stuff, like, he goes crazy over that stuff as well. But, like, that's a passion of his, clearly. I get that. My thing is why I've always liked Kanye is the fact that we live in this world where people expect you to be one thing and one thing only. So it's like, yeah. Sean goes to work, and Sean is, you know, you might be an accountant, and that's all Sean can do. So, hey, you know, like, first time you meet somebody, it's like, hey, how you doing? My name's Sean. My name's so-and-so. Yeah, so what do you do? Oh, yeah, I'm an accountant. Okay, Sean's the accountant. And that's all Sean could, like, kind of do. So when Sean goes and does something else now, it's like, wait a minute. Hey, weren't you supposed to be crunching numbers? Where's your green visor? You know what I mean? So when I look at Kanye, it's like I understand the spirit of the things that he tries to do, because I kind of believe in that spirit as well, that you don't want to be boxed into one thing. Like, you can, I fully believe that, you know, like, everybody can do more than one thing. Everybody has more than one talent, you know what I mean? Whether they're confident in it or not, that's one thing. But I think you're able to be free in experiencing the different aspects of who you are as a person. You know, whether it's talent, your mind, whatever it is, it's like you're able to do more than one thing. So I respect the fact that, like, it's like, yeah, he maybe wants to evolve and try different things musically. He wants to try different things as a creative and get into different, you know, like, businesses and, you know, create fashion and architecture and stuff. I support all of that, because that's what, you know, that's what life is about. So it's funny. So looking now at, like, Childish Gambino and looking at his video that came out this past week, and looking at the impact that This Is America landed on the culture, like the impact that it had. When I look at him, I think he is the example of what Kanye is trying to do. You know what I mean? Like, in a sense, you know what I'm saying? Well, like,
you know what, though? I'll tell you what. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
Before you go any further, I'm gonna bring this back to something that you brought up before, which I think is something that is very, very, very pivotal in this conversation. Like you said, I can't remember what you were referring to about Kanye, but you were surprised that he needed the affirmation of people, and that he seemed to need that. I can't remember what you were referring to previously, right? But you said that, right?
Well, like award shows and stuff, like, yeah, he doesn't,
right? Okay, yes, exactly. So he needed that confirmation, that affirmation, you know, like, it seemed like he just wasn't, you know, like, because Kanye wants to put out that image that, you know, I'm so great, I know I'm great, and I fly off the hip with everything because I'm super confident in everything that is me and everything that I put out. But he's not. He's not at all. And during that Charlamagne interview, when he spoke about how some of his songs weren't getting radio play, that kind of messed with his confidence, because he needed that affirmation. He needed that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what's kind of helping somewhat drive all of these issues that he's going through, because he's not as confident as he likes to portray himself to be. Now,
but Sean, but not to cut you, but, like, isn't that most people who are super confident publicly, aren't they the ones that are the most insecure at the same time?
They often are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they often are. But that's the thing about Kanye, though, is he strives to be the absolute best and the pinnacle of everything, right?
Right.
Because, of course, you know, like you said, people sometimes that do, the more you exhibit these confident behaviors and want to show everybody how confident you are, like you said, there's probably some underlying self-consciousness that you're covering up for, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But now your point with Donald Glover, I've never met the dude, but he seems to be the absolute opposite. He seems to be content with who he is, and if you don't really mess with him, so be it. He doesn't try to preach how great he is. And mind you, Donald Glover at this point in time couldn't preach how fantastic he is. The guy is like, yeah, who in the game is as multifaceted as Donald Glover, man?
Yeah, for real though. Like, think about it. The guy has the. I mean, I watched a clip the other day. The wife showed me a clip the other day of this guy doing stand up comedy, like a few years back.
Yeah, yeah.
You saw that, right? That.
No, I remembered that because he did stand up comedy. Wasn't he on that show, The Community?
The Community,
too, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on that show back in the day. He did stand up. He does, you know, shows, movies. He did his own. When I heard that Donald Glover was doing, he's a rapper, Childish Gambino. One, I was like, what a stupid name, Childish Gambino. It's a dumb name, first of all. And then I'm like, oh, he's dumb. But then, you know, and I found him corny because, I mean, he was supposed to be corny. He was a corny. I mean, all of his roles were like, you know, they were comedy. He had comedic roles. So I'm like, this guy, man. Like, of course, only in this day and age. Back in the day, that never would have flied for us. But like, yo, he ain't gangster dog. How many people he murdered in the street, you know? But now in this generation, of course, you know, they don't care about that stuff, which is rightfully so. How tough you are shouldn't dictate how talented you are.
Right.
But so with that said, I was resistant. I'm like, this guy's super corny. Oh, what a cornball. He can't come and rap now. But even back when he first came out, I'm like, the guy's music ain't garbage. I'll give him that. You know? Mm-hmm. And even then, I think personally, he evolved from then. I think he got more talented from there than he was back then. You know, he produces and acts in his own television show, Atlanta, like you said. You know what I mean? He's in movies. He's Han Solo. He's not Han Solo. He's Lando Calrissian in the new Han Solo Star Wars movie.
Right, right.
You know, like the dude, there's no stone unturned. The dude does absolutely every form of entertainment.
Everything.
And on a high level, man.
Yeah, because Atlanta's a great show by all accounts. You know what I mean? For like, yeah. NXT, there's won awards already. He's
season kind of stinks, but you know that's neither here nor there. But right. The show itself has a as a body of work. I mean, it gets a lot of
high praise. It gets a lot of high praise. He's a ridiculously talented freestyler. Like in terms of rapping, he's absolutely amazing. Like, yeah, I've seen enough freestyles where I'm like, okay, like why isn't this guy getting more publicity? I don't care what his persona is, if he's a nerdy, awkward black guy, you know, I don't understand why this guy's not getting more chances musically. And then look, and then this guy put out this last album. It was very R&B-ish, very funk, almost like an ode to Prince. That Stay Woke song was like, it was like dust on TV. It just stayed on the charts.
Yeah.
Like, it was at the point where it's like, it was leading like shows like The Quiet Storm and stuff. You know, like this is where he's living now. And you know, you're looking at this year so far, again, as you said, the Han Solo movie, you know, Atlanta's doing numbers. Now he puts out this video, which is kind of like, you know, the video kind of reminds me of, it has that spirit of like, remember that Exhibit video, what you see is what you get?
Yeah, you're right.
And it's like 5 million things going on in and around and behind him and all that stuff while he's trying to go to the store. He's rapping and doing all this stuff. This video is kind of the same thing, but more dark and more serious.
Yeah, man. You know what? I'm confident enough in myself, Calvin, to admit that there is some artistic shit going on in this video that goes way over my head.
Yeah.
Like, I would need someone to break this down for me. I need the guy who directed this to explain it to me. I was like, I knew there was a lot of things I wasn't grasping in this. Because this the symbolism in this freaking video, it's to the degree that it can, I think, make your head explode. You know what I mean? I can see it. Like, you know, remember back in the day, I don't know if you remember this, back in the day when you're in school and your teacher would be like, okay, here's this boring text, and now let's discuss a symbolism. And you're like, oh, Lord have mercy. And then, you know, like, you had different thing, imagery and this and that, and all kind of different stuff. And you have to detail what part of symbolism this was and that was. And sometimes I'm like, I don't even know if the author really intended for all this symbolism to exist in this text, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But with this video, I know that I'm not capable of grasping all the symbolism in here. It's a visual smorgasbord You see that and you're like, man, there's so much going on here, man.
It's one of those videos where I guarantee you every time you watch it, literally every time you watch it, you catch something new.
Yeah, man.
Guaranteed for sure. Like, he's got different rappers from Furish and all these different people doing ad-libs and stuff on the song.
I heard Young Thug. I didn't hear
SZA's the girl that's sitting on the car at the end of the video.
Yeah, I saw SZA.
You know, so it's just there's so many things. It's basically, like, the way I looked at it is, it's like, from my interpretation of it, it touches on mass shootings, random gun violence, and with all the violence and all the chaos that's surrounding him in America, it doesn't matter because the focus is on superficial shit. We're worried about the dance moves, you know, the fact that he's dancing with these kids, doing the, you know, what the, all these different, you know, all the different dance moves. I can't even name them. That makes me feel really old as hell. but he's doing all these different dance moves, and there's just chaos going on, you know. And then the part where, you know, the choir's coming in, they're singing the song, and he comes in dancing, you know, all happy, and then he gets the machine gun and just shoots everybody off. It's funny, the wife watched it and she was like, she brought up a good point. She's like, that could represent that guy in South Carolina coming into the church,
that's shooting exactly up the whole church.
And I was like, oh,
that's
shit. Exactly, I was like, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt the same thing.
I didn't even think about it.
I wonder if that's a parallel there. Like, honestly speaking, though, one thing you'll notice too is what seemed to be a theme is it seemed that in the video he was trying to highlight that we put the Fourth Amendment. Is the Fourth Amendment the right to bear arms?
Right. I think so. One of the above,
with the amendments that, you know, everybody is in love with in the U.S., they put that above human life. Because you see, anytime he shoots anybody, they come and they take the gun. The one time they take it and they wrap it and, you know, mm-hmm. take it away so gently. Mm-hmm. But then the bodies, they drag away like garbage.
Yeah.
Obviously, that was intentional
right.
to show just that. That in the States right now, it seems to be that they do put guns up over lives, because with all those arguments, when we say, why don't we just implement a little more gun control just to save some lives? It will save lives. Oh, no, that's our Fourth Amendment right. No. Mm-hmm. And that's really it. They don't want it. They don't want to. And when I say they, of course, I don't mean everybody, but the people that argue against that don't want to change gun laws because of their Fourth Amendment rights. You could have both. You can identify a problem and say, okay, although I agree that we should have the right to bear arms, let's tighten it so that we can reduce senseless deaths. Everything needs to be refined, right? And no matter what you're talking about, nothing's ever perfect. So you observe, you know, what is the outcome for whatever you're talking about, and then you tweak it. If everything stayed the same and nothing was modified based on what you learn from what you observe, then where would we be as a society, man?
Yeah, true.
But that's one thing I don't understand, like people that really, really advocate for that. And I think that was one of the prevailing points in the video. People that advocate for the right to bear arms really do not want to budge slightly to think that anything can be modified in U.S. society to make sure that some of the things that Childish Gambino was trying to highlight in his video can be reduced as far as how frequently they happen. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then you look at the fact that, like, it's a 200-year-old law and it refuses to be changed in any way. And, you know, and I laugh because, you know, this past week, what does the NRA do, for example? They hire Oliver North to run the show. I'm like, really? Really? Yeah. I'm like, really? That's where we're going to go with this? You know, so so going back to the video, it's like I look at all of those aspects, the fact that, like, just the random violence, the mental illness. I mean, look, it's even crossed the border because, you know, a couple of weeks ago, the whole situation with the van driving down Yonge Street on the sidewalk, killing everybody. I mean, that happened in New York about a year ago, and now that stuff is starting to affect here, you know.
Yeah,
and
sure.
which is sad, but, like, yeah, the whole thing is, like, you know, we're worried about, like, the dance moves, what I got. Look, I got contraband. I sell contraband. I'm the hardest such and such out, and all this stuff is happening. Like, as you said, somebody comes in and gently takes away the gun. And it's like, while he's dancing and, you know, look at such and such, look at this, look at what I'm doing. And it's like, wait a minute.
We're not going to.
I'm like, wait, you're not going to address the people you just wiped out like 30 seconds ago. Like, what the hell happened to the choir? Like, they sounded good. Shit. Can we at least save them? You know what I mean? So, so it's like even all that stuff, as you said, it was a great point. Like the gun is on a higher pedestal than people. Than actual people, you know, and that's a scary thought, especially in this climate right now. It's being so emphasized, like this is America. To me, that's why I love the video. There's so much Easter eggs, there's so many nuggets that's still in that video that we're still missing. But on top of that, Sean, I mean, you know, to circle back to Kanye before we wrap this up, he basically caused more conversation and made you think, at least, you know, give some real thought to the message that he put out in 3 minutes than what Kanye did in like a span of like three weeks.
Yeah, man, it's true.
You know what I mean?
And that when he put that out, that went viral to the degree where you had to wonder if there were people in the background pulling strings. Like, because I never seen anything go that viral. And I mean, never. Instagram, everybody was posting that video. I woke up on Sunday, I said, I guess Childish Gambino put out a new song yesterday? Like, I couldn't believe everybody, every celebrity posted it. Then from there, it went down, it trickled down the totem pole. So every celebrity posted it. Then all of a sudden, okay, then random people posting it. Then friends are posting it. I'm like, what is this? It was dope, but what I have necessarily, I guess maybe I don't have the ear to, because if I saw that video, I'd have been like, oh, that's crazy. And I would just keep on moving. But all the attention that everybody showed to it made me have to say, okay, let me take a look at this. This must be ill. And I looked at it, and mind you, the song is dope. I'll give him that. Yeah. The song is dope. Beat is dope. It's a good song even without the video. Then when you put the visuals to it, then you're like, wow, this is powerful. Even if you don't necessarily understand what about, you know, you don't necessarily appreciate the power of the imagery as somebody who maybe, you know, maybe may study film more and may study this type of symbolism more, but you know that, like, man, I know that there's symbolism jumping out of my freaking smartphone and into my face here. I just can't grasp every item of it, you know?
Right. What he did, which is amazing, is that he got his point across, like I said, in 3 minutes. You know, whereas Kanye, we still don't know, outside of him supporting Trump, we still don't know what his thoughts are. Like, we know what his thoughts are, but, and most of them, when you look on Twitter and stuff, it's positive. So I don't want to sit here ripping the guy. Like, it's, so a lot of this stuff is positive, and I understand some of the stuff that he's tweeting about. Like, I understand. I get those messages. But we still don't really know what this is all about. You know what I mean? Like, I think the most consistent thing with Kanye in the last 3 weeks has shown is, it's like, we're all kind of a little bit confused. You know, it's like, it's like, he's made some great points. You know, he's also, wait, he's supporting this. What'd you say about slavery? You got an album in 2 weeks or you got an album coming out next month. What's happening here? Is everything okay? Like, nobody, it's like a state of confusion. But, I mean, you're right, it's all about Kanye, but this is a Kanye that's in a state of confusion. But I think, you know, to wrap up, I'm like, the spirit of Kanye about not being boxed in, the living example of it was birthed in 3 minutes with Donald Glover. You know, that's like, he showed you, like, you're not going to box me in, basically. Like, just on that level, like, you're not boxing me in. I was surprised he could do some of these dance moves. Like, I could dance, I could rap. Oh yeah, I could also sing, and I could really act too. You know, and I can make you laugh. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, he just reminded you of all that stuff, and I can send messages, and I can make you think. He did all of that in 3 minutes.
And Calvin, he did all of that without telling you and praising himself for doing all of that. Like, Donald Glover is everything right now that Kanye is telling you Kanye is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And there's a difference.
And yeah, because he ain't telling anybody he's that. We are looking at that, and we're giving him that. Kanye is telling you right now, I am Walt Disney. I am the best artist around. Well, no, you're not. You're not. Unfortunately, I know you like to believe you are. You're not as relevant now as you were before. As far as relevance now, Donald Glover has you beat. Donald Glover this weekend, if I had invested stock in Donald Glover on Friday, man, we would be at Bitcoin proportions by Monday.
For real.
Because, dude, he hosted Saturday Night Live.
Yes, that's right.
And got exposure to a segment of the population that might not have been very familiar with him. And then dropped a video that made him so relevant that everybody was talking about it. So people who didn't know Donald Glover last week know him now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And none of that is by self-praise like Kanye. Mm-hmm. So, like, honestly, we live in a very, very polarizing time because it's like there's so much happened these past 2 weeks that, you know, you're on one side or the other. And it's funny, the way you processed a lot of what we discussed today, you process this information and your thoughts about it, that's the kind of thing that could really, like, put people at odds, man.
Yeah.
It really, it's almost like, well, Kanye's kind of right. Slavery was a choice. Well, I guess we're no longer friends then, you know, if that's your opinion. And, like, you know what, Kanye does have a point here, you know. You know, the Make America Great Again hat is pretty unifying. Is it really? All right, well, I guess then, you know, I see where you stand. You know what I mean? And then with the Donald Glover thing, I don't have people like that in my circle, but I'm sure that there's people that see that and are appalled by that video, mm-hmm. and are appalled by that same imagery that we're praising him for putting out thought-provoking imagery. There are people that all they see is maybe he's anti-gun and anti-America. You know how many patriotic people probably take that as a slap in the face to America?
I know.
You know, so it's like there's a very, very polarizing time we live in, man. And the last thing I'll say is, and I touched on this before, like in 2016 and 15 and 14, you know, progressively it just felt like we were trending toward a more harmonious existence. And then police violence and Donald Trump and things happen, and it turned our world, our North American lifestyle, upside down, man. And it's not that at all. Like I said, it's just a very polarizing time where there's a lot of strong opinions clashing. It's really causing some civil unrest.
Yeah, and I think in closing, just to add to that, at the same time, just to, you know, to flip it on the other side of the coin, you know, there's always a positive and negative to anything. And I think the positive in that is that it's letting people become more educated on the stuff that's going on around them. There's more of an interest that's going on around them, not just about the stuff they're just interested in, but stuff that, you know, maybe politically you might not have been interested in, and which, you know, the Democrats or the Republicans, or even in Canada being, you know, liberals and conservatives, is giving everybody the lane where they can feel like they can speak freely on certain things. You know what I mean? They're not afraid to now voice their opinion on certain things, which is great. Which is great. And you want people to be, you know, and you know, quote unquote woke. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like you gotta be responsible with those thoughts and be respectful at the same time to other people around you.
Yeah.
So it's like you gotta be, so it's like the free thought thing, I understand the whole point of that. Like that's nothing new. But it's just you got to be responsible for that when you're on a certain platform. So when you're making your people look crazy, you know, with your free thought, you know, that's not helping anybody, you know, especially yourself.
Exactly. Because it's validating thought that is harmful to that same segment of society, you know, to us. And you're supposed to be one of us, to put it as simple as possible. You've been one of us, you know. And when I say us, I don't mean necessarily the only black folk, but I mean, you've been one of us and been championing our culture and that culture that, you know, strives for equality, and you just slap us in the face and add fuel to that segment of society that has the opposite belief of that, man.
Yeah, I totally agree. And on that note, Sean Adonis, thank you for coming on the podcast today and sharing your thoughts, man, on the whole Kanye West extinction level event, and then sharing your thoughts as well as with Donald Glover, aka Childish Gambino, two talented people, but seemingly going two different directions.
Yeah, man. Last thing I'll say, man, you know me, I'm a harsh critic, man. And Childish Gambino, he managed to sway me and convert me from believing he was an utter cornball to believing now he is a very talented genius. So that's a pretty amazing feat. Let me just leave it at that and say, indeed, brother, these are some interesting times we're living in, man.
To wrap up again, man, we didn't even talk about J. Cole's 1985, man. Damn.
Oh, my gosh.
We got to say, damn. Yeah. We didn't talk about that, man. Jeez.
That's an honorable mention. I guess we won't really have time to get into it much, but all I'll say on that song is, with these polarizing times, a song like that to come out and detail so vividly in such a short span of time, or such a short length of a song, just detail the destructive path and the destructive effect of hip-hop music and certain negative stereotypes that are being exhibited, certain negative behavior that is being repeated by these artists, and that also does hurt society or the people that look at that as being, like J. Cole said, look at that as being what it is to be black. You know what I mean? It's sad because, you know, being black is not about walking around with all kind of tattoos and chains and money. And I think we talked about this before on the pod with hoes and this and that. A lot of people, because this is what's glamorized, they attribute that to being black until they're mature enough to not care about that anymore. And then you've already molded in their mind, well, that's what black people are about. I'm too mature for that now. But all black people are about, they have no substance. You know, they're about hoes and drinking and partying and having guns and nice cars. That's all they're about. And then they go out into the business world and they have to hire the next black person. And they have to hire a black person believing that, hey, you know, when I was younger and listened to that music, that's what black folks are about. So that's what you're about. You're coming for this job, but that's what you're about, man. Like, it's super destructive. And J. Cole put that out in a track that wasn't trying to be preachy, just stating facts, man.
Yeah.
Super epic.
And on top of that, any kind of people that's appropriating the culture, too. That, like, right. The song touches on that so well. Because, I mean, I when he dug deep into that song, I'm thinking of, like, Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus, five years ago, was the girl that was, like, remember, she was teaching everybody how to twerk. She was the twerk girl, you know? Sure. And now she is so completely distanced herself from that entire lifestyle now. And I'm like, yeah, like that's, and that's why I never bought that stuff from Miley Cyrus at all. Like, you know what I mean? It's one of those things, you know, as you get older, you see stuff coming a mile away. When she was coming down the pipeline to working with Juicy J and stuff, I'm like, yeah, that's gonna last.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's gonna last for a little while. And then now she's back to country music. It's almost like that was a lifetime ago, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But what happened to Juicy J? Is she gonna put Juicy J on her next country album? Doubt it.
Probably not.
Doubt it. Yes, sir. So yes, sir. We'll we gotta catch you on the next one for sure.
Yes, brother.
Thank you all for tuning in to the Av Podcast. And as usual, I'm grateful for you lending me your ears. Special shout out goes out to Sean Adonis for coming through and breaking down the recent events of Kanye West, as well as the This Is America video from Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino. I think people are wondering what kind of comeback Kanye can do musically. If it's any more of the rhetoric that he's been spouting, and if that's going to dominate his newest material, because I know he's got like two projects coming out in June. I really don't know how that's going to come off with the public. The only thing I know is this. If this is the way he's marketing it, then he's really off to an awkward start, to say the least. And as usual, you can catch all of the South Shore Ave shows wherever you listen to podcasts. You can listen to the episodes on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher. And make sure you subscribe to that and to check out the Foundation website and to listen to my entire catalog of podcast shows. Make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. For Sean Adonis, This is Cal C. And you've just tuned in to the Av Podcast on South Sharaf Radio. Until the next podcast, folks, peace. We out.